John chapter 18, look at verse 28 and 29 in a minute. If someone is going to be punished for a crime, there has to be a couple of things that come together. One, you need to have an accusation. You need to have a charge to bring against them. It can't be something like, I just don't like that person, or they annoy me. Like, you need to have a charge of where, what they have broken, what they have done wrong. And not only do you need an accusation, but you also need evidence. You can't just make an assertion and expect a judge or a jury to punish someone. You need evidence to go with the accusation. And last of all, you need a jury or a judge that's willing to convict them. And to say, based on the accusation and the evidence that's been presented, I find this person guilty. Well, that brings us to the trial of Jesus. The Jews have brought Jesus to Pilate here in Luke chapter 18. We read this just a moment ago. In verse 29, well, start in verse 28, it says, they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, that they might eat the Passover. Verse 29, Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? And stop there. You might expect, you know, if you were in a normal court of law, someone to bring up the charges and say, well, we accuse this man of murder, or he's a robber, or we accuse him of insurrection. You might expect the answer to this question to be a list of charges. That's not really what they say. If you keep reading verse 30, they answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. So notice they don't answer the question. They don't bring up a list of charges. They just kind of assume, oh, this guy's evil. Like, why do you think we're here? And then look at what Pilate says in response to that. He says, you take him, verse 31, and judge him according to your law. In other words, what are you doing with me? Like, this isn't my concern. You can take him. You can deal with this person. So notice what's going on here. One, they don't present an accusation. Two, they don't present any evidence to back it up, to go with it. But three, they're ready to convict him. Notice in verse 31, the Jews' response to Pilate for, you know, why did you bring this man to me? Verse 31, the Jews said, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. So notice, they've already decided the sentence. They already know the punishment they want to give to him. They're skipping past the part of, you know, the accusation, the evidence, the trial. They're coming straight to Pilate because they know the outcome that they want. And it's amazing to me, they can't present an accusation that even an unbeliever finds convincing. Like, Pilate here is like, why did you bring this man to me? And yet they've already decided what they want to do. So compare that to what I was talking about at the beginning. You need an accusation. You need evidence. You need people willing to convict. And when we look at Jesus, we see that there is no accusation that could be brought against him. There is no evidence that could sustain a charge against him. And yet, people wanted to find him guilty. He was ultimately given the sentence of a guilty man. Compare that to ourselves. Think about ourselves, like, and how we fit by those standards. Could someone bring an accusation against us? I mean, certainly could me. I mean, they couldn't just bring one accusation. They could bring a lot of accusations of stuff that I've done. What about evidence? Is there evidence that people could use to support a long list of sins that I've done? Yep, that's absolutely true. And yet, because of the blood of Jesus, I can stand acquitted and innocent in the sight of a holy God. And this is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus. That Jesus was innocent. There was no evidence of his guilt, and yet he took the sentence of a guilty person. And yet us, the people who could have an accusation, many accusations lodged against us, against whom there is much evidence, we can stand holy. We can stand innocent before the Lord. How is that possible? And the answer is what we're about to celebrate right now, the Lord's Supper, and what it points to. You see, the Lord's Supper points to the love of Jesus. It points to his body that was broken for us, and it points to the blood that he poured out for our atonement. And so as we come to the table this morning, this is what we remember. We remember the love of Jesus, that he was willing to pay the sin, pay the debt for our sins, to walk our road, to feel our pain, so that we might be reconciled to God, our Father.